like a curved dick adds a whole different like sensation. And like, I'm just like a proponent of curved dicks out there. Anyone with a curved dick, slide in my DMs. I'm not available now, but I might be in the future.
Hi guys, I'm Val Benson. Welcome to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy on every Thursday with me. Today, my guest is Hannah Berner. Did I say your last name right?
You nailed it.
Fuck yeah. Anyway, she is a funny internet personality. If you don't know who she is, you've seen her tweets around everywhere. Everyone always posts her tweets. You're also known for Summer House. It was on Bravo, right?
Yes, still on Bravo.
Still on Bravo, and now you're also joining a new late night talk show in Bravo's chat room. Congratulations. Yes,
thank you, honey.
She's also a Leo, and she's dating a Scorpio, but we'll get into that later.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I love astrology. And cats.
What do you know about being a Leo?
Okay, all I know is we're creative, we're loyal, we like attention, we're generous. The one thing that I'm not Leo-like is I think a lot of Leos like fancy shit and buying stuff and showing off stuff, where I'm very like minimalistic, but I love compliments and like emotionally getting things, if that makes sense.
Emotionally getting things.
Yeah, I like to manipulate people emotionally. No, but I love attention and that kind of shit.
Yeah, they say that Leos, I think I wrote it down, Leo girls are just naturally beautiful. Like, they just can always steal the room. Basically, you look beautiful, you're confident. Leo women are very confident, the center of attention, very fiery, selfish. But not as selfish as the other fire signs. The most selfish one between the fire signs is an Aries, and then followed by Sagittarius, followed by Leo. So Leo and Leos are very loyal, supposedly, except my ex-boyfriend. Not sure why he missed that thing. But normally Leos are very loyal and they're really good friends.
Ooh, I feel like we can, if we give people attention, I've heard that we can make someone feel like they're the only person in the room. When I'm on a Zoom call, I make you feel like you're the only person on the Zoom.
Wow.
Because you are the only one right now.
But it's hard sometimes with Leos. I feel like as a Scorpio, Leos are so prone to giving a lot of flattery and compliments because they also back, obviously. But then
because we love compliments. Yeah.
Scorpio, I'm a very deep person. So then sometimes when I hear that, I feel like it's false flattery. And I don't realize that that's actually a Leo's person's way of letting you know they fancy you.
It's like our love language is, like compliments. And but so many people, it's true. Even when I had you on my podcast just now, Burning in Hell, I said something to you and you're like, oh, thanks for the affirmation. In my head, I was like, no, it's not affirmation. It's just real. Like, you crushed it.
Yeah, this guy, like, who's a Leo that I know is always like, oh, is that my future wife on the phone? The most beautiful woman in the world? Like, jokes like that. And I'm always like, oh, okay. And in my head, I'm like, oh, false flattery.
Yeah, I can see it could come off like, okay, well, what's real and what's not? But yeah, Leos just like love affection and attention and like we're using our words to make people happy.
Yeah. Okay. And the last thing I forgot when I was introducing you, she also is known for a podcast, Burning in Hell. I'm so fucking stupid.
And I just had Violet on. You crushed it.
She just had me on. I crushed it. And now she's on my podcast and we're releasing the episodes on the same day. So obviously, if you just listened to her podcast, welcome to mine. If you haven't listened to her episode yet, then finish listening to mine and then go to hers. It's double excitement, double penetration. It's amazing.
It was juicy. Like, you got fucking deep on your daddy issues. And I feel so close to you. Yeah.
Inside and out.
Yes.
That's all the guys I've dated.
You have a deep vagina, but like narrow canal.
Yeah, I've talked about that before. Yeah, actually. Yeah. Do you?
I actually like have had issues with like guys with dicks that were too big. That's why like I come up with the idea, like I like guys with like average/slightly below size dicks, because then I'll like do Pilates on their dick. Like, I can like fucking handle it. But I've dated like this British guy, his dick was too big, and it was like I had to do a fucking meditation every time he tried to go inside me.
I feel like I can't tell if it's like real when girls say that, because I'm like, you literally can have a baby out of your vagina.
I know.
Pretend that like you can't have a big dick. I almost feel like it's girls being like,
my pussy's so tiny and so tight. Like, oh my God.
Maybe I just wasn't that into him and I like wasn't wet enough. I don't know, but it was like too girthy.
No, so then I'm just like, either A, I've never been with a really big dick, or I just have a very wide set vagina. But I have a big dick, so then I'm like, what does it say about me?
You have to change your branding. No, it was like my forearm. It was huge, but it was like funny to like look at. It's funny. It was like, it's hotter to look at than like have inside me.
Also, what does it say about your current boyfriend, what you just said?
Like, oh my God, like, he has like
below average dick, so shout out to my boyfriend. Anyway.
No, so my boyfriend, I'm obsessed with his dick because it's like curved, and I don't think people talk about curved dicks enough in the world. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Like a curved dick adds a whole different like sensation, and like I'm just like a proponent of curved dicks out there. Anyone with a curved dick, slide in my DMs. I'm not available now, but I might be in the future. You know?
Shout out to my boyfriend again.
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Wait, what is it curved? Where?
His is like curved down and it just like hits certain spots and it's nice.
Oh, so when he's flipped, so when he's laying on top of you, his will be then curved up.
Yeah, or if, or like you could do reverse cowgirl and then it's curved in a different way.
So then he can literally hit your G spot.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
So sometimes I do think it's less like, I mean, he has a good sized dick, but it's not like so big that I need to like, you know, tense up beforehand.
Yeah. I said this before and men got mad at me that I said, big dicks are the ones you have fun and experiment with. They're not the ones you marry.
Yeah, that's why you
have average dick. That's the boyfriend material dick. That's the husband material dick. That's
what you marry. Yeah, because like, you know, when you're, your vagina is, I love how I'm using doctor terms today, your vagina is just like throb, like hurts after, like it's sore, like you got pounded.
I love that feeling.
I like it, but like I don't need it for my husband. Like, exactly. I want my husband to fuck me like 5 times a day and it's like fun and easy. Not like I have to go in a stretcher to leave.
You can't do that. A big dick, it's like, it's more fun. Yeah, my vagina's hurting for 3 days. I probably got a yeast infection.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We were talking in my podcast a little bit about how like sex is like an exchange of energy, and how also, do you know some guys you like always get a yeast infection or like a UTI from? And they say it's like some guys' pH just like isn't compatible with your pH. And I feel like the right guy, like you won't be getting yeast infections with.
One of my exes was constantly giving me a UTI or yeast infection. Yep. And I just recently read that actually men can have yeast infections. So if anything, that motherfucker probably had a yeast infection the whole time with this disgusting ass dick. And he was just constantly giving to me. But yeah, not only was our energies not meant to be, neither were we. So yeah.
So I think if you're getting yeast infections, check those energies because they're probably off.
Yeah, I agree. But like, yeah, I don't want to get a yeast, like a big dick gives you a yeast infection, a UTI. Sometimes it like dries you up in there. You're in pain. Like if you, the husband, you want to have sex with him all the time. So like, I can't.
Yeah. Like with the guy with the huge dick, he couldn't just like casually slip it in and had to be like, I had to do a whole stretching routine beforehand where like, I like when a guy in the morning just like fools around a little, next thing you know, it's in and you're like, ooh.
I guess maybe I've never been with a big dick because I feel like then I've done that. So then either my vagina is just really big. Now we know. Already first. I have a wide set vagina. I'm kidding. Like, I think I'm tight. I don't know. I mean, have you ever heard that, like, a guy ask, like, it's like when you put tampons in, sometimes I feel like I feel uncomfortable. So, and then I feel like a guy, 17-year-old boy would be like, how come you didn't moan when you put in that tampon?
I also feel like every guy tells every girl their vagina's tight. So, like, we don't really know. So a guy would never tell you.
I know. And I always fall for it when I'm fucking a guy. And they're just like, damn, you're so tight. And I'm like, oh, my God, I know, right? Stop.
Also, a guy told me once that even if you're with the same girl, her vagina tightness will change, like, depending on, like, the time of the month. Or, like, so, like, you're not always – it, like, goes up and down. Yeah. Is what I heard.
Or, like, I'll do Kegel sometimes in the middle of sex.
Hell yeah.
To confuse them.
Yeah. You're like, are you with someone new right now? Nope, still me.
Our next sponsor of the day is Helist. Modern life has made it seem as if living in a constant state of stress, anxiety, and exhaustion is normal. People believe that this is what life requires, but guess what? It's not normal. It's not okay. You shouldn't constantly feel anxious or stressed out or exhausted. It's time to defend our wellness. HeList Naturals is a new 100% natural vegan and clean ingredient CBD-based brand, and it actually works. One thing that makes HeList different from other CBD brands is that HeList has taken the highest quality U.S.-grown organic CBD and blended it with other clinically tested natural ingredients that are known to work with your body to help you find calm without the brain fog, or help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up without any morning grogginess. For example, their sleep drops contain lavender, chamomile, and lemon balm essential oils. Their calm chews contain ashwagandha and L-theanine. HeList products have no THC, so they will not get you high, and all their products are triple lab tested for potency and purity. They publish all their lab tests on their website, so you can see exactly where you're getting. For a limited time, HeList is offering a trial size of their best-selling calm and sleep drops for free. Yeah, you heard me, for free. It will last between 5 to 10 days depending on your personal dosage. So head over to HeListNaturals.com/Violet to sign up and get your free sample today. I'm serious. It's literally free. So go to HeListNaturals.com/Violet to get your free products today. Again, that's HeListNaturals.com/Violet.
How have you been holding up during quarantine?
Quarantine really stressed me out for, I mean, a multitude of reasons. The world is crashing and burning, but and people are dying. But I do think that overall quarantine has been like a good like reflecting time. I've been with my parents a lot.
Aww.
So I got to like spend time with them that I wouldn't have had. And then I like fell for someone during quarantine, which was wild.
Right. Yes, I was reading that. So you have a man. What is that like?
Oh my God. So I was actually so single. I told you I didn't have sex for 6 months. Because, like, I had sex in December and then quarantine hit in March. And if I knew quarantine was going to hit, I would have had, like, multiple dick appointments just to, like, prepare myself. But I didn't. And I, like, forgot what sex was. I was, like, super horny, then, like, super not. It was, like, weird. Then I was FaceTiming, like, this football player that I met on Raya for, like, 3 months. Like, we would FaceTime every day. And it was weird because I knew he was, like, fucking other girls and partying in Florida, obviously. But, like, he just, like, wanted to talk to me every night. So he was, like, my pretend boyfriend. But deep down, I was, like, we don't live in the same place. But it was such a quarantine relationship where we just would, like, make each other laugh. And then this guy, this comedian in New York City, slid in my DMs and was like, are you out in Long Island? And I was like, yes. And I'd never met him, but I remember him being cute because I'd seen him perform before, but I thought he lived in Ireland. He like lives half the year in Ireland, half in America. And he was like, let's get coffee. And then like we just hit it off. And then the FaceTime dude was like, what's up? And I was like, oh, I met someone. He's like, how the fuck do you meet someone? You live with your parents every day. And I was like, don't worry about me, you're fired. And so then I started seeing this new guy and it's been like really easy. Also, he's 44.
Right. 29. Well, actually, I thought he was 45. He's 44.
He's 44.
Okay. What's it like to date an older man? Are older guys the move?
The funny thing is I've never been one to like be into the zaddies. Like I love like a young, stupid athlete. Which has gotten me really far. But there's something.
Nobody like actually recently asked me for advice about how to date an athlete. Number one advice, yeah. No, he's going to cheat on you. Be okay with it. That's like the number one advice.
If they're professionals like currently playing, they're going to cheat on you. They're already cheating on you before you even started. Just tell them to wear a condom. But also a lot
with
of them.
Yes.
A lot of them have CTE, which is like this brain disease that like football players and hockey players have, which means like they just are like not fully functioning. So like if they're slow or they get angry easily, it's just the CTE that's part of it.
I've only dated a basketball player. So with basketball players, I mean, yeah, my advice is that get used to them cheating on you. Even like as much as you think you're special, you're not. I'm like, except me, like all of them are cheating on you guys, but like mine does not cheat on me. He's 100% cheating on me when he's like randomly in a different state doing God knows what. And I don't hear from him for 2 days. Get ready for them sometimes not reaching out to you and you just have no idea what the fuck happened. And then they come back around. Sometimes you even make plans and they just forget to show up. And yes. It's because that's literally how athletes work. They have this weird schedule and they follow the schedule. And if their manager forgot to put you in the schedule, or their brain just doesn't work like that, they'll forget. My guy was just playing video games. Sometimes he flaked on me, or maybe he was fucking someone, who knows? Anyway, they're going to cheat on you. But they're really fun to cuddle with and to have sex with. And I recommend for anyone to have sex with an athlete at least once. It's a wonderful experience, but that's not the guy you want to marry unless you're in it for the money. Then just marry an old guy who's going to die. I don't know. What do I know?
No, I think you're 100% right. Dating a professional athlete is not fun too. Like, my love language is quality time, and like, they just won't be with you ever. Like, they're always traveling. Then they get traded, and then you have to uproot your life. Also, a lot of them are narcissists because their whole life they're just told they're like the greatest, hottest, most talented people. And like, I watched this Dr. Dre documentary actually, and I was dating this kind of famous guy 3 years ago, and he fucked me up because everyone was like, oh my god, you're dating this guy, he's so amazing, but I didn't realize that I wasn't happy. And I watched a Dr. Dre documentary, and in it his wife was like, I'm the rock and he's the balloon, and like, I just hold him down, that's like my job. And I was just like, ew, get me the fuck out of here. And it's funny because Dr. Dre actually just got divorced, and I just feel like if a guy is making you feel like second fiddle, or you don't feel like equal as a partner with him, it doesn't mean he's cooler than you or like smarter than you or funnier than you. You're just not being treated as an equal partner, and get out.
But again, it depends what you're looking for. Some women True. Are okay with that. Like, some cultures are okay with that, where you are literally just holding down your man. But like, for women like us, who we are more in entertainment and what we do, we need to be the star of the show a lot of the time. So it won't work for us to date someone else that has to be the star of their show. We need someone who's more behind the scenes a lot of the time.
Yeah. Or actually, well, the guy I'm dating now is a comedian, and
I felt bad as I was saying that. I was like, oh,
no, this is good. We're having good conversation, because I also told myself I'd never date a comedian again because I've dated one and they're nightmares. However, this guy's older, so like, we're at different parts in our careers. Like, he's already well established and not like comparing himself to me. Also, like, he didn't grow up with like millennial like technology and stuff, so he like loves like learning from me and like thinks what I'm doing is cool.
what is that? Oh, it's FaceTime.
No, he actually, I started dating, I was like texting with him, and it was like a perfect opportunity to send like a cute gif, a giphy. And he was like, oh, that's how you can tell you're dating like a millennial, by the speed that they can access gifs over text.
Then do you ever call him daddy or zaddy?
Well, he had a nickname before he like came out, and I was calling him caddy daddy because like, we played golf on our second date. So like, online when I talk about him, I'd be like, caddy daddy. But I do think a lot of guys also, when I'd meet them in their like late 20s, I'd be like, okay, first of all, do they like their career? A lot of them wouldn't. And I'd be like, okay, how do I get them to like fall in love with their career? Then I'd be like, okay, do they have like issues with their parents? They've never been to therapy. Okay, how do we get them to therapy? Okay, like, living wise, like, what things are they bad at? Like, day to day, like, okay, their organization is shit, or like, whatever. Like, I would just become a project manager, and like, I'm done being a project manager and dating an older dude. His exes have already fucking, like, guys learn from every girl they've dated, so like, at 44 he has been like, he's so well trained.
You don't want to be in the lesson, you want to be with the guy who already learned all the lessons, and now you get to reap the benefits, and you get to enjoy him, versus like, I agree, like, that's what was happening. I was dating younger guys, and it was always like me, like, okay, yeah, how can I help him with his like career and things like that?
Yes,
be motivated on your own. And then
the last guy I dated, he was like, I broke up with him because I'm like, you have intimacy issues, like, you're a narcissist, like, you have to go fucking therapy. And then he like met someone after me, and it's like so great, and he's like, I'm going to therapy and it's been amazing, and now I take up yoga. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm glad that I set you up for success, but like, I'm done being that like stepping stone for like true love, because I tell you what really is wrong with you.
No, exactly.
Everyone has issues. It's finding
has issues.
Yeah, one of my favorite tweets that I've written, because I'm a narcissist too, is dating is finding someone whose parents fucked them up in a compatible way to how your parents fucked you up. So it's like really finding compatible problems. And like, he still has issues, but like, he like knows how to be a good guy.
Is he the first older man that you've ever dated?
I've always dated guys who are like slightly older. The oldest I dated before that was 35, and I was 25. And then when I date guys in their 20s, they just feel like squirrel brains.
Yeah, I feel like even guys in their 30s now don't have their shit together. Like,
especially New York and LA guys too.
New York and LA guys. Oh yeah, New York guys I feel like are worse than LA guys. I don't know what about them. It's like, my vagina just gets, I literally have a DAP. When a guy from New York tries to talk to me, I'm just like, don't.
Adapt. Oh my God. Wait, but do you like Jewish guys? Because New York is just, do you like Jewish guys? Because it's a lot of just like a lot of Jewish finance guys.
That's probably what's giving me the dap.
No, yeah, New York is just guys who are like, I'm just working my ass off. I want to make as much money as possible. And like, bitches will love me because I'm in finance. Like, just finance bros.
Yeah, they're just so narcissistic. There's like some of the guys that I've met from New York. I'm not saying all of them. They're really narcissistic. And then there can be sometimes very opinionated. And I just don't like, I just feel like that's too much stress for me. And I don't want to deal with people being too opinionated about anything. Yeah. So then I feel like it's too much for me.
Yeah, I feel like you've been traumatized by some New York guys. But yeah, they like the hustle and bustle and they talk really aggressively like me.
I talk really aggressively. People think I'm from New York all the time. Now I feel like as I just talked.
As you said that, all the time they think I'm from New York. Yeah, I like bacon, egg, and cheese. Oh yeah, I was just saying why I think guys in their 40s are better in bed than guys in their 20s.
Then do guys in their 40s like super down to eating vagine?
Yeah, I don't think that should be an issue for any dude in their 40s. Like, I feel like.
And like, does he actually know how to make you cum? Like, do you orgasm with him?
Yeah. But also like, I love his curved penis and that's just a plus.
Wow. So then what's the most romantic thing your 40-year-old man did for you?
Oh my God, I'm embarrassed saying this, but I guess this is my Leo side coming out, but he bought me a hot tub.
What the fuck?
Like, I said that I love hot tubs and I guess he was already thinking of it, but this is why I also like dating guys who are older. Like, he already like, they have money. Like, I've dated so many dudes who are so fucking broke and like, I love paying for stuff but like, I've never been spoiled to the extent where I was like, I like love hot tubs. And then in a week he was like, hey, I'm getting a hot tub. And I mean, obviously like it's for him, like it's in his house, but like it was for me.
Wow. I love that about him. Okay. So I love that. Is it like, do you feel like you guys communicate well? Because Leo and Scorpio, so her boyfriend, I don't know if I mentioned it, he's a Scorpio. And so then do you feel like you communicate well or so far so good?
I think so far so good. We're definitely like fiery and never boring. Does that make sense? Like, he will get like super passionate about something, or like if one of us gets upset about something, like it's a thing, like it's a moment, like we need to like fully like talk it out and like fight it out. And then we're like, move on. We're like, no one keeps anything in, but like, we're like overly communicative with each other. Like at the end of a phone call, he'll be like, by the way, like it hurt my feelings when you said this.
And so me.
Like he literally, like I will like make a joke about an ex and at the end of the phone call, he'll be like, by the way, like I hate when you talk about that. And like, it wasn't funny. And then I'll be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I so respect you for telling me how you feel and being open. Like, we're really mature.
That's the only reason I feel like that's why it's working out between a Scorpio and a Leo. Cause that's also so me and my like immature Scorpio self. I would just hold it in, but now yeah. I'm going to let it out, but I'll wait till everything's over. And then I get the courage to finally say something. And the end of a conversation is usually when I also say, by the way, this and this kind of affected me.
And I feel like we are like, if we met when we were younger, we could have probably had like terrible communication, but we're both like evolved in our signs. I feel like I finally met this dude because I finally am like just being myself and like being open. Because I used to be that girl who was like, I liked a guy, I'd be like, I'm going to be the perfect girlfriend for him. I'm going to trap his ass. And then 7 months in, I'm like, I fucking hate this guy. But like,
I might have been dating him.
I was like, I literally hate him. But my friends joke, like, I love cats. And I started seeing him and he fosters pit bulls. And I'm like posting all these swipe ups for people to adopt pit bulls. And they're like, who are you fucking? What guy are you fucking that you're posting pit bulls all the time? But like, he's just, I don't know. I'm like very into him right now. It's very, very new. But he's, what do you think about Scorpios and Leos? Leo women, Scorpio men?
Well, I mean, I'm a Scorpio woman and my ex-boyfriend's a Leo guy. And, we had a very toxic relationship. We were also really young, but like, I feel like a friend, like my friend, my future roommate, Francesca, she's talking to a Leo guy. So I think they're still talking. So then she's a Scorpio. And I feel like there's a guy that I'm somewhat intrigued by who's a Leo. So I feel like suddenly there's all these Leos in our lives. So I suddenly can't talk badly about it, but we're not really supposed to be compatible, but because we're both so passionate.
Yeah.
But I feel like as long as you respect one another and you can, because Leos are so communicative. Scorpios everything in. And that's why that doesn't work out. But
he's like done work on himself. And I think that in the past he has held a lot of stuff in. And now he's just being like so open and honest. And it's like so attractive to me.
Speaking of feeling confident, introducing our next sponsor of the day, it is Candid. You know all the things that we'd love to do for ourselves but haven't done it for whatever reason? Well, if you've always wanted straighter teeth and a better smile, then stop putting it off. Thanks to Candid, straightening your teeth is simpler, easier, and more comfortable than ever. Plus, you're literally home, so it's the perfect time for you to straighten your teeth if you wanted. Candid clear aligners are comfortable, removable, and practically invisible, unlike wire braces, so you can transform your smile without anyone ever noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement. And it's all done from the comfort and convenience of your own home. Canda only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like other companies. Plus, the average Canda treatment is actually only 6 months, but you're going to start seeing results way before then. And it costs thousands less than braces. I wish someone would have told me that. Anyway, start straightening your teeth today. Right now, all my listeners can save $75 on Candid Starter Kit. So go to candidco.com/violet and use code Violet. That's candidco.com/violet for code Violet for $75 off of your Candid Starter Kit. So take advantage of this limited time offer to save $75, okay? So candidco.com/violet, use my code Violet and have a beautiful smile.
I hate when guys too early on say they like you. Like, yeah, if you on first date or second date are like, I really like you, I'm like, I don't trust you. Because you don't know me. And guys don't fall like first date, second date. They don't.
I don't know that. Me trying to justify all the times I fell in love with somebody on the first date. You don't know that?
I think girls can. But guys are like so physical in the beginning. They don't like fall emotion.
They fall for you in a less way. They just don't realize it.
So when guys are like, I really like you in the beginning, or they're like, if guys are talking about the future on the first or second date, they're fuckboys and you can't trust them.
That's so true. There was even an episode about it with Sex in the City with Samantha that she met a guy and I don't know whoever watched it at this point. I feel like one time I was like, I'm such a Samantha. And people were like, who's Samantha? And I was like, what? Have you never seen Sex in the City? You know Sex in the City, right?
Obviously, I watch every episode.
Okay, yeah, it's really educational. So in Sex in the City, Samantha met a guy and he kept talking. Their first or second date kept talking. First, she wasn't interested in him. He convinced her by constantly talking about their future, always saying we, always saying us. Yes. And she fell for it. And it's one of those, the tricks of those men who do that in order to get you into bed. He fucked her once or twice and then she never heard from him again. Mm-hmm.
I've heard that story so many times where like the most romantic guys, like the guy that did something like, it's like if anyone does that too early on, like you can't trust them.
Well, no, like I love romance. Like my first dates, they're all romantic, but it's just like, it's my choice and I'll fuck them.
Yes. But like something like overly like you're the fucking one type shit early on, I can't.
Depends what you consider romantic. Then in that way, I feel like it's, I mean, yeah, if somebody... No, actually, you're right. Like this guy that my friend was talking to, he took her, we live in Los Angeles, and he took her horse riding in Santa Barbara on the beach. Mm-hmm. And she was so infatuated with him. And then like within a week of talking, they weren't even having sex or anything. Within a week of talking, he was just like, I like you so much. Come to Europe with me. And he literally invited her on vacation. And I was just like, damn, like I've been manifesting. I just wanted flowers from a guy. Like this bitch is getting like a year of vacation. Like I'm doing it wrong. But then it didn't last for long, because then when she said no to the vacation, she did some ayahuasca trip. And after she did ayahuasca, she came back.
It's the most LA story ever.
The most LA story ever, huh? It's going to be an overheard LA.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
She came back from her ayahuasca trip and she was very spiritual. She realized she doesn't want to be around any negative energy or any energy of people she doesn't know. She said no to the Europe trip, and after that he completely ghosted her and never spoke to her again.
Ew, because it wasn't authentic.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. You're right.
And like if a guy is just like, I don't want to be with a guy who doesn't even know a girl and is like going that far out there romantically to try to like win them over. Like get some confidence in yourself and like use your personality.
You're right. I guess I didn't. Like, I thought it was so amazing what he did. But in speaking to you now, I realized that you're right. That's false flattery, because that can be real. Like, how do you know? But then my dad married my mom after 1 month and they're still together.
Well, that I believe in that. I'm saying like first and second dates, like how they act. But like my parents got married got engaged in 4 months too. Like, I totally believe that when you know, you know. But like, I had a friend on a first date, the guy was like kissing her in the rain and then like wrote her this like long note on a napkin and like all this bullshit and like then ghosted her.
Now that I think about all my incredibly romantic first and second and third and fourth dates turned out in like a explosion after. Now that I think about it, because we didn't actually know each other well.
The best first dates are the ones that like are kind of casual, but you end up talking for like 6 hours because you just can't get enough of like the conversation.
I'm still trying to actually do research about that, and I have to get back to my listeners on that. I'm trying to figure out whether it's a good to have a first date where you talk for hours, or I've recently read somewhere that you need to have like a 90-minute date, so it's an hour and a half, and you have to, or like 60 to 90 minutes, you have to cut it. You have to keep it short so it leaves them wanting more.
Can I tell you what happened with the guy I'm dating now?
Yeah.
So our first date, we like got lunch and like walked around, got coffee, and it was like 4 or 5 hours of just talking. And then because I was corona paranoid at the end, like he kind of like could have kissed me and I was like, no. And he was like, that was fun. And I was like, yeah, I might see you again, maybe not. Like, I was just kind of bitchy, but like he knew I was joking. And the second date, he wanted me to play golf, and we played golf and it was so much fun. And then I was like, he has this house like by the beach, and I was like, I want to see his house on the beach. So I was like, can I go to your house? And he said that he like literally had no idea that I wouldn't even kiss him, and now I'm like, bring me back to your place. So he like didn't even prepare for it. And then we like spent the day on the beach, and then we had sex, and then like we've been dating for a couple months. But also like corona dating, it's like I don't have time. I like, the world could end tomorrow, I don't have time. And with the right guy, I don't think it matters what time you have sex with him, like as long as it's not like in the car when he picks you up the first time.
Yeah, or sucking his dick. Dinner. Like, wait to eat in the restaurant. Don't be eating his dick before you even go to the restaurant.
Like, wait for the appetizer, bitch.
I agree. So you guys had sex the second day. It was on the beach?
No, but it was like on the beach we kissed for the first time. And then I was like, can we go back to your place? And he's like, yeah. Like, I hadn't had sex in 6 months. I was dying.
He like Googled on the internet because we were talking about her podcast, how like when you start to Google like how to tell if a guy likes you, that's when you know you're in the dumps. Like, that's when you know it's not working out. But he was probably Googling like how to tell if a millennial likes you. It's like, okay, so she doesn't kiss you, but then she wants to fuck you on the second date. Like, I'm so confused.
And the gifts keep coming. She keeps sending gifts.
So then right away, did you just not care about calling him whenever you wanted or all that? Or were you still, quote unquote, playing a game?
It's so funny because, like, from the second he messaged me, it was so upfront. Like, he was just like, do you want coffee? And I was like, yes, here's my number. Like, I could just tell from his energy. It was like, are you in? Are you out?
And like, so I was very upfront.
Yeah, he's very upfront, and I knew that, like, if I tried to, like, I didn't have to play games, but if I did, he would have been like, I don't have time for this shit. Like, so it was, the more open we were with each other, the more it was, like, turning us on. But even, like, after we had sex on the second date, I was, like, lying in bed with him, and he looked at me, and he was just like, by the way, like, I don't care how early it was.
Like, you, like, knew that, like,
I wasn't even thinking about that.
I was like, I wasn't thinking that, but clearly you were. No, I actually was thinking it. I was like, oh, damn it, my mom would not be happy. But him saying that even was showing that, like, we were connected, and he was letting me know, like, I'm not just having sex with you. Like, I'm actually, like, interested in.
You guys use a condom?
I don't know.
I want to make fun of you because you're just like, I'm just so scared of COVID. Like, STDs are fine. COVID, like, we wore our masks, but like, no condoms.
Girl, I need to wear condoms. I do, but I'm on birth control.
But
right. I mean, it doesn't prevent STDs, but I feel you.
Oh, 100% doesn't prevent STDs. But like, I was so into him.
Never wear a condom.
I just, for our listeners, I want to be like, it's not that anyone looks up to me at all. They're probably like, this bitch is crazy, but like, I can be better with condoms. My mom said, like, use the condom. Like, even if you do have sex early, use the condom as, like, you want a raw dog, then we have to be exclusive. But still, to banter that, I'd say, if you have to trick him to be exclusive, he's not the right one.
No, I agree. And I don't have sex with guys unless we're exclusive, at least in my head. Now I've learned that, like, I have to ask them, too. Like, are we exclusive? Sometimes I used to think we were exclusive, and I guess we weren't, so...
Yeah. My thing with him is like quarantine, I didn't care to have a boyfriend, and then I was just around my parents all the time, and they're so cute and they still love each other, and I finally was like, you know what, I have to
You were like, called your mom, mom, I want what you and dad have. And then you literally got someone like your dad, and your parents were like, we didn't mean like
that. No, there are like a little too many similarities, but I feel like I was always going for emotionally unavailable guys because I was emotionally unavailable. And I know it's weird because like I am naturally emotional, but it was more like I liked dating guys I had no pressure with. And then they would like me because they could sense that I wasn't pushing for anything. And I actually was like distracted by other people while with them. But finally, I was like, that doesn't provide me happiness, because guess where it's left me? Alone with my parents. And finally, I feel like I was in a vulnerable place. And then when I met him and he was being very open, I was like, fuck, like, let's just let it out. Let's just be obnoxious. Like, we're disgusting. We're like, call each other schnookums and stuff. Like, it's gross.
But so you guys are like really lovey-dovey.
We're super lovey-dovey, and it's like nice to just experience it, but it's so off-brand for me because I'm such like a like you probably don't even like him, men are trash, like
me,
no, yeah, like I'm so like that. But I think it's important to have, like, women are complex, we have a lot of different sides to us obviously, and sometimes you can break me, and he's like broken me for a bit
anally.
not yet anally, but I'm like, we'll probably get there soon because quarantine, you have so much time on your hands.
That's so funny. I'm like that too. I feel like I do these podcasts, I'm just like, men are trash, blah 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 blah, respect yourself. But then like, I'm not talking about once you're in the relationship, because I'm also so like, I'm so lovey-dovey, and like, I have, if I'm obsessed with somebody, because I do get obsessed with the people I date, like I just want to touch them all the time and kiss them, and like, we're just like, I also have this thing where I love to get overly sexual with somebody in front of other people. Like, I think it's funny to make people uncomfortable. I feel like it's a Scorpio in me. So I can literally like, just like my, this one guy was dating, these other, his friends came over my house, and then he's just sitting next to me, and then I just got on top of him and started making out with him. Cause I just think it's funny. But then I don't realize that it's like, the guys, men don't mind. So they're like, fuck yeah, free porn. So then we have to stop. Cause I'm like, well, we're not gonna have sex in front of them. But it's like, I do those things where I'm overly touchy in front of other people, cause I think it's funny.
I feel like I'm the same way in that I love to get people's reactions. Like, I love to just see how people react to things. But he actually wasn't a PDA person, but now he's the one that'll like kiss me in public. So I like that.
He probably was a PDA person, but he was too scared to show his real emotions because he's a Scorpio and he holds it all in. But then once he saw that it's okay with you, now he's like so excited to do it back.
I think you nailed it. I think you totally nailed it. I thought I had to have like a behind the scenes kind of guy, but it's crazy because like, I also need to really respect them. And if I feel like I make them my little bitch, which I've done in the past, where like guys, like they do my laundry, they just like wait around for when I'm done with what I'm doing. It's like fun for the first couple months of a boy toy, and then like you don't respect them. So like him, as much as I love attention, I also love when like everyone's watching him perform and like I'm in the green room and just like proud of him. So it's like, it's a nice balance.
So nice. That's what people don't understand about independent women or some men, is that as much as we're independent, like I'm so independent and I'm so like a boss person, but like I love being like the man that I date, like his hype man, and I want him to do the best. Like, yeah. I want to be amazing so I can stand behind him and like clap my hands. And
like, I'll get annoyed if he's not pushing himself and like into what he's doing, like I'm into what I'm doing.
Exactly. So it must be nice for you to be so passionate about what you're doing, and then you guys inspire each other to want to work harder and to be the best versions of yourselves.
Yes, but it's also so funny, what I need, which I feel like you're similar, is like, I need someone who can like handle me and make fun of me and call me out on my shit. Like, I need someone to, like, we make fun of each other so much to each other's faces, like nonstop. And then I like heard him on a podcast this morning, and he was just like, she's so awesome and so great. But like, we were literally just like, just tear each other apart. But that's like our personality. But then we'll have our moments where we're sweet. But like, I thought that I needed a guy who like wasn't as funny so I could be funny all the time. But like, I'm sick of hearing myself talk. And it's fun to be like the star of your show with a guy for like 2 months. And then I'm like, can you bring something to the table?
Okay. So like, speaking of earlier, we were talking about STDs. A fan did ask me about STDs, and this is, I love how you're laughing. Let's talk about STDs really quick. Have you ever gotten an STD?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
I don't have that many one night stands, but your girl did this one date. I got like so drunk. I was like dancing at the bar. Like no one else was dancing, like just me dancing on him. Fell asleep in the cab on his lap. Had like 2 minutes of sex with him. Next day, like he was like this like lacrosse player, which is like, it's like a Northeast type thing. Stay away from them. And then I found out that another guy I was talking to at the time called me. It was like, my pee stings. And I was like, who did you have sex with? And he's like, you. And I'm like, who else? And he's like, just you. And I was like, what? And then I realized I had chlamydia, but like I had no symptoms. Turns out you just have to go to the doctor, get a pill, and that's it. Like, I just got a pill. So like, I want to destigmatize chlamydia as like, oh, it's disgusting, it's terrible. Like, everyone can get it. But also like, the scary thing is like, I could have easily gotten herpes, and that's like way more serious and like more stigmatized. But yeah, I've had chlamydia. What's up?
Did you know that 70 to 80% of people in big cities now get some type of herpes?
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, so sometimes people just don't admit that they have some type of strain of herpes, but it's, I think it's like, I feel like I never realized how important it is to destigmatize it. Yeah. Because somebody, a fan recently slid in my DMs, and she asked me about advice about herpes. She said, I recently got herpes, and I was like, it's fine. And I'm like, it's not a big deal. I told her, but she goes, no, but it's general herpes. It's not even the mouth herpes or whatever, the one in your blood, it's general herpes. So it's herpes type B or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I don't know, I'm scared to date now. And I don't know what I need to do. Cause I don't know if I'm supposed to be upfront with guys, tell them right away, or if I'm supposed to wait. So what would your advice for her be?
Great question. I actually just had this girl named Erica Spera on my podcast like the last 2 weeks who has herpes. She's a comedian, and she informed me a lot about this. Treat it like it's anything that's private to you. Like, first date, I'm not going to tell them about like the trauma my dad and I like went through or something. Like, treat it like something that's intimate. So, but also don't do it like right before sex when people aren't right. And I think Erica, she would just say it in a very, she was just like, look, I had trouble getting confidence in myself before herpes. So now I'm like, why would a guy date me when it's like, it's me plus herpes? Like, it's really emotional and scary, but it actually, I think, will get you to be with the right people, because the wrong guys will be grossed out or whatever. Fuck them. But the right guys, like, sit down and be like, before you have sex, be like, I have herpes. Like, talk to like whoever your doctor or whatever about how to deal with it. If it's not a flare up right now, so like, it's not going to be whatever, but like, definitely inform them, but like, do it when you trust them. And when you're comfortable. I love how I'm talking about it, like, but this is just what the girl told me. And it's tough, but like, way more people have it than you think.
Exactly. That's so, I love that advice. That's what I told her. I was like, I don't think you should tell it on the first date, because you don't share everything. You're not going to tell anyone anything. Everything on the first day, and plus, is going to be hard then to even want to get to know you at that point, because it can freak someone out. And she goes, but isn't that lying? And I was like, no, because you don't even know you have that person's even interested in you. But don't tell them, like I said, the same thing. Don't tell them right before you have sex. Say you went out a few times, you think you like him. Now it's time to open up. So you tell that person something.
Yes. You're not lying.
Exactly.
It's because first date, you don't cover that shit. I don't tell you like my sex fetishes or like my like childhood like stories. Like, we're just getting to know each other.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not like, imagine me going on the first day and crying about my enamel deficiency. I was born with a birth defect, then I was not like, no boy will ever kiss me. The guy would be like, okay.
Yeah. Cause you are not herpes. He's trying to get to know you. And then when it comes to sex, then like, you figure that shit out and like, be super like to the point and informative about it, not like emotional.
I think more people have it than we think. It's just stigma behind. For example, one of my friends, she had a boyfriend for like 9 months. And I remember one day I just made some dumb joke about herpes because I was ignorant about that. And she was just like, it's not funny. And I'm like, why? What's not funny? And she goes, blah, 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 blank has general herpes, and he never had an outbreak, and we're still together. And it's just like, you shouldn't put people down for something they literally can't control anymore. And I still love him, and I'm still gonna date him. And I was just like, damn, I'm so sorry, it was a joke. And now I was like, I'll make jokes about chlamydia, but I can't do that either, because you had chlamydia. So and I guess it'll be syphilis. I'm kidding, jokes about nothing. So yeah, STDs are more common, especially herpes, especially in big cities. So people need to be aware of it. Everyone kind of has some type of a strain of herpes these days. Like, even getting a cold sore is a type of herpes.
Yeah.
Realize. Or some people can be born and get herpes without ever having sexual intercourse, because their mother had an outbreak during birth.
So wild.
It's pretty effing wild, but I'm happy we're talking about it, because I kind of want to make people feel more comfortable with what they have. So definitely share with your partner, but wait a while, not on the first date. And if you simplify it and you show how simple it is and it's not a big deal, the other person will also think that. Don't be like, oh my God, I have that. Like, you know, then they'll also think it's the worst thing. But if you're not having outbreaks, that it's probably not as big of a deal as you think it is, because that other person might actually have it too.
And I try to think big picture, like if a guy stops seeing you because you have herpes, that shit is not meant to be. And that was not the right energy type person for you to be around.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even dating right now, so I can't relate, but exactly. okay. So like you've had your like crazy moments and all that. What's the craziest drunk moment you've ever had?
Oh my God. Craziest drunk moment. I did get eaten out on national television for 2 hours, but it got cut down.
Hey guys, quick question. Do you have a vagina and a butthole? Well, this ad is for you. It's hard to believe that when we go to the bathroom in this country, most of us wipe instead of wash. Crazy, right? Well, for years, bidets have been available, but hideously expensive, costing thousands of dollars. Literally, only rich people can afford this. But guess what? The Hello Tushy Modern Bidet attachment is here to bestow the blessings of bidets to everyone. Hello Tushy cleans your bum with a precise stream of fresh water for just $79. That's literally as much as you pay for your Postmates for one night. It attaches to your existing toilet, requires no electricity or additional plumbing, and cuts toilet paper used by 80%. So the Hello Tushy bidet pays for itself in just a few months. Keep your vag feeling fresh with less irritation, infection, and general BS, and send toilet paper packing. So go to hellotushy.com/too tired to get 10% off of your first order. This is a special offer for our listeners. So again, go to hellotushy.com/too tired for 10% off. That's hellotushy.com/too tired.
2 hours was a little too long for the show to just watch.
But I had like been flirting with this guy last season on Summer House, and he was like just like a male model who's like put on this earth for people to have sex with him. And he was like playing these fucking games with me, being like, I don't want to have sex with you, I care about you too much. And I'm like, bitch, I don't care about you, I need your penis inside me. And then finally, like, we got drunk one night and it happened, and all of America heard it. And I think that female sexuality is important to show that women deserve to get pleasure, and it was one of the more feminist things I've done.
Did it make you come?
I believe yes, but like I don't, you know, when you're like that drunk, like you don't really know, but I know I was loud, and I know that as a Leo, I was performing. It like turns me on for the guy to feel like he's turning me on, but like I don't fake it, but I will overperform sometimes.
What's the craziest thing a man has ever done to get your attention or to impress you, aside from going down on you for 2 hours on national TV?
Oh my God, the craziest thing a guy has done to get my attention. This is like, it's just going to go back to like the first crush I've ever had. And I still think it's the cutest thing a guy's ever done for me besides the hot tub thing. Is my crush in kindergarten gave me a box of all his Pokemon cards. Like all of them. Do you remember Pokemon? Like collecting that probably took him like 3 years. And he gave me the box of all of them. And I was just like, oh my God, thank you. And like, I don't know if a guy's done anything that sweet up until this day. Like a kindergartner's Pokemon cards. It's like, that's like someone's like entire net worth as an adult.
A guy one time wrote me a poem in high school, like a poem about how beautiful I am. And I thought it was the creepiest thing I've ever saw. And I stopped talking. I was like, I wouldn't even go near him because it was like ninth grade.
Yeah.
Not realizing years later how desperate I was to ever get a poem or just a nice good morning text from a guy, let alone like a poem. So I should have been thankful for it, but like I didn't understand yet that that was meant to be romance.
Yeah, I feel like gifts are so lame. Like I don't even like flowers that much. I want something that's like an inside joke. Like actually Dez just got me this like cookie called like Eat Me Cookies New York, where it had like lyrics to the WAP song on it. And I thought that was like, that's more like funny and cute, and it's like fun for us.
I love like thoughtful gifts. I agree. Like I feel like at one point I was manifesting flowers. So a lot of men were buying me flowers on our dates, and I appreciate that. But also I don't really like flowers. I just didn't want to tell them, but I like the idea of it. Like I love the fact that somebody was actually taking the time to give me something that felt really nice.
Yes. But sometimes like I definitely like it more when it's like a poem or something that I can like it show that he thought specifically of me. It couldn't have been just like any girl on that date.
Or like paying my rent. It's like, wow, you're so thoughtful.
Exactly. Or like telling me how high my engagement is on Instagram. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah. Or like, you know, buying me a house. Yeah. I'm just very focused on something specific right now. It's so romantic. It's so romantic when someone just like pays my rent without asking for anything back. Like, that's so
mortgage.
My mortgage. Can you just pay my mortgage? It's so romantic.
What's the craziest thing you've ever done to get a guy's attention? You're like, in kindergarten, I gave the Pokemon cards to like the other guy.
Oh my God. It's funny. I have a very like method to my madness when it comes to like dating. And I talked about this on when I went on Call Her Daddy actually, but it was just like, I play the long game. Like, I want a guy to notice me, and I will do it through like at the bar. I will like talk to his like ugly friends and like get their attention, then like walk away, and then like come back and like hit up the friend again, and like eventually like be in a situation where like if he's into me, he will be jealous and be like, why isn't this girl talking to me? Like, I will take 2 hours at the bar to like orchestrate this to get a guy to finally get the balls to like say something to me.
Oh my God, that's such a Leo move. I feel like, because Leos love to be the center of attention, I feel like a male Leo has done that to me before, where they're giving attention for 1 second, but then they're always walking around with different girls trying to get me jealous. But really what it does, I left the party. I was like, it doesn't work on me.
I will like do that but then once we do talk, then it's like we're zoned in and I'll talk to you for the rest of the night. But like, I back in my single days and back when we went to bars, I would get bored, so I would like pick a guy that I was most into and then make my whole night about getting his attention in like the most creative way.
Wow, talk about daddy issues. Tell me about your most embarrassing sex story.
Oh, I farted on a guy when he was going down on me. I feel like that's like everyone's nightmare, but I feel like, how have more people not done it? Like, I feel like no one talks about it, because I was like, this guy was going down on me, and like, I feel like when you're in that position where your legs are bent, it's like perfect farting position. And I was like, you know, when you're like trying for an orgasm, like you just start pushing. You're just pushing in random places. And I farted on his face. Now, when a girl farts, if any guys are listening or girls are listening, you can go about it two ways when someone farts during sex. You can kind of ignore it completely and just keep going. You could kind of like have a like laugh moment and then keep going. Or you're just like, fuck this. Like, this is weird. We have to laugh. Or you completely like just quit. And you're just like, this has ruined the mood. We're done. And this guy, like, I farted and he was just like, he was this British guy. He's like, did you just fart? And I was like, yes. And we started laughing, and then he didn't get hard for like the rest of the night. Yeah.
What? Were you okay?
I'm like such a like sick comedian that I was just like, oh my God, I can't wait to tell this on every podcast and put it in my stand-up routine, and it's going to be amazing. And I did it in a stand-up routine, and he was in the room and I didn't know he was there. And I was like, oh, it happened to this guy. And someone was like, he's here. And he was just laughing. And like, we just have to normalize farting. And like farting, ugh, like so many times, like farting ruins my life, of me like not trying to fart during a meal, not trying to fart during cuddling, like not trying to fart during sex. And it's like, I just want to enjoy my life.
Like, I'm really weird when it comes to passing gas, but like, I'm just going to open up about something in order to everyone to know, even the most prissy girl that's a perfectionist. When I was younger and I was with one of my boyfriends, he was like fingering me or something. So his face wasn't near there, but he was fingering me or touching me. I forget whatever the fuck he was doing. And I feel like, cause you know, when you're like, again, like it's something about you trying to get an orgasm where you're pushing. Yeah. And I farted on accident. Yeah. And then he said, what was that? Did you fart? And my blank in my brain, I was like, still so embarrassed with sexuality in my body. So my brain, I was like, either run and block his number and never speak to him again, but fuck, that's my house, so I can't run because he's in my parents' house right now. B, say I farted, or C, say I queefed. I'm, yeah, again, super young, not experienced with my body yet, so sexuality feels weird, so even queefing is embarrassing. Yeah. So then I just went with like the least embarrassing thing I could think of, and I was just like, oh no, I queefed. And he was like, oh, okay. But I feel like we both knew I was lying.
I feel like just being like, it was a queef is like the best way to go about it. And like, I've totally done it before.
But if his face is right there next to it, you're just like, you can't pretend it's a queef. Like, he knows which hole it came out of.
No, he was up close and personal, but
he knows. Did you get a pink eye?
I know. It's a poor guy. It was the same guy that I gave chlamydia to. Like, that guy was abused.
Wait, you gave him chlamydia and a pink eye?
Yeah. And I farted in his face. Like, and he like liked me more, which I think is like a lesson for all of us girls to learn. You just have to own it and laugh about it. Like, and I always say, like, with girls like trying to be perfect in a relationship, you know, when guys are like, I don't know, there's just something about her. That's when you're being your authentic self, and like, there's an X factor about you because you're being like weird and different. But if you just act like every other perfect girl, like, they'll never feel that X factor.
That's so true. The X factor is you being yourself and just, and like, they just happen to be in the room. And I think you're right. That's what ends up making the guys like you, when you're just being yourself. I feel like whenever I've been the perfect girl when I was younger, it was like always chasing the men to love me. Yes. And they've always been going for the girl like, oh, she doesn't wear any makeup when she's around. I'm just like, how does she do that? Like, don't you want to be the most beautiful girl every single time? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, they love it when you just actually don't care about them as much.
And guys, I feel like when guys fall for you, like, then there's nothing you can do wrong. Like, I think everything you do is perfect. And it's like, I feel like guys fall harder than girls when they fall. Cause girls, like, we fall over like anything. Cause we just like having emotions, where guys, when they do, it's like,
that's so true. Yeah. Wait. So if I would think, oh yeah, I recently talked about this. The most embarrassing thing that I've ever done for a guy. Mm-hmm. It's not even that embarrassing. It's just so funny. It's basically my boyfriend and my ex-boyfriend, who's a Leo. We broke up and we're so extra. So in order for me to show him that I loved him, I decided to show up at his house unannounced, confess my love to him in a sexy outfit so we can fuck. And so it was like 2 days after we broke up, I decided to show up at his house and get back together in a sexy outfit. Luckily it was black, and I'll tell you why luckily it was black. Because when I showed up at his house, there were other people there, and he was like, what are you doing here? And I was just like, I love you, like, we need to be together. And he's like, do you not realize what day it is today? And I was like, it's Saturday. And he goes, it's my dad's 1 year memorial. So,
oh my God.
And I was just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for your loss. Then everyone saw me there in my sexy outfit. It was really awkward, but I feel like he's such a prick that I feel like we will always fuck with each other sometimes. I feel like he purposely, because I had to go to temple with them in my sexy outfit. I went to religious temple with them. It's like super religious Persian Jewish temple, where the women, the men are divided. So I had to go my sexy outfit to temple with him and his mother. And I sat with his mother for 3 hours at temple. And I feel like he did that to fuck with me, because I had no choice but to just be there.
That is so fucked up. But that's an amazing story.
Yeah, so I guess that's the most embarrassing, craziest thing I've done to get a guy's attention.
That's epic.
Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for your loss. Are we still fucking later?
Will you fuck me? I'm sorry about your father.
No, we did not fuck that day. Like, when everything was over, I had to go home. So it was really awkward.
Oh, God. And burn that lingerie.
Yeah, I guess for whatever reason, he wasn't in the mood. Super weird. What's the lowest expectation you've ever set for a man?
Once I dated a guy who lived with his parents, and he was 30. And after like 2 weeks, he called me and he was like, hey, I don't think this is gonna work. And I was like, I wasn't actually trying to date you. And it was like one of those moments in my life, and I like started crying. I was at my grandparents' place, and they were like, are you okay? And I was just like, I don't know what's happening with my life. Like, it was a dark moment for me.
It's like, even this guy doesn't want me.
Yeah, like, literally, I was like, bro, like, I wouldn't ever date you, and you have the nerve to try to tell me you won't date me. Don't try to fuck with me like that.
He was just like, I just think I can do better than you, so I think we should break up.
That's literally, like, what he said, and I was like, oh my God, I'm getting rejected by people, it was so bad. And then my dad would make fun of me, and I was like, he'd always be like, does this guy, like, have a job? Does he live with his parents? Like, every guy I dated for, like, 2 years.
So many guys I've recently dated still lived at home, didn't have a job, and they were, like, in their 30s.
Yeah.
And then I remember I'd be like, you're like that guy that I did the pros and cons list. The cons was just, like, he lives at home, doesn't have a job, ex-drug addict.
I'm like, he's an artist. I had a meme that I wrote where it's, like, he lives with his parents, but the place is a mansion, so... And it's in Connecticut.
Yeah, but that was the guys I was dating too. But then I was like, yeah, it's their parents' money. Like, one day this guy was on the phone with his parents, and he was just like, no, mom, I don't need that much money to Mexico. That's too much. And I was just like, that's my babe. Like, in my house that I'm paying a mortgage on. He's just like, no, mom, I don't need that much money. And I was like, I love that guy. He's the one. And then he told me, you're not the person for me.
Jesus. But like, then I joke that it's like the poor guys that like fuck, like they need a place to stay that night. And there's like something endearing about it.
That's so true. The poor guys actually need your housing. I don't want to fuck like there's no tomorrow.
And they work for it.
He's so good at eating pussy. Oh, that's because that's his way of paying for rent. Like, I just realized that.
Hey guys, want to introduce you our last sponsor of the day, which is BetterHelp Online Counseling. As you know, I talk about anxiety and depression a lot of my podcasts. I even discussed recently on my solo episode that I was feeling depressed lately until I finally found some help and got myself out of a rut. If you are going through something, I just want you to know that whatever you're feeling is completely okay. So if you think you may be depressed or you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious, BetterHelp offers licensed online counselors who are trained to listen and to help. You can talk with your counselors in a private online environment at your convenience. BetterHelp counselors have expertise in a broad range of areas, including anxiety, grief, depression, relationship conflicts, difficulty sleeping, LGBT matters, trauma, anger, family conflicts, self-esteem, and so much more. They give you access to help that may not be available in your area, especially if you feel uncomfortable talking to somebody that knows you, or you just feel like there's nobody you can talk to. BetterHelp online counseling is there for you. All you have to do is fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and then get matched with your counselor in under 48 hours. Everything you share is confidential, and then if for whatever reason you're not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one in no time and no additional charge. So join the 1 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. BetterHelp is an affordable option. Our listeners get 10% off of your first month with the discount code 2TIRED. So again, use my discount code 2TIRED for 10% off of your first month but when you use BetterHelp online counseling. So get started today at betterhelp.com/2TIRED, TOOTIRED. So talk to a therapist online today and get the help that you need. I love you.
What are some fears that you have about relationships, so during dating?
I think my biggest fear is just losing myself, because dating someone is to like enhance you, but to like get to that point, you have to give yourself in it. And if someone doesn't like treat you right, your mental health can really go downhill. So like it's giving someone your heart and your mind and trusting them with it. So like my biggest fear is just like me being in a worse position than I was when I start dating someone. Like I love being single because at least I'm in control of my own mind.
Yeah. So you just want to make sure you never lose yourself in the relationship. That's when you know, that's when you're like, oh my God, something's wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. When you stop feeling like yourself, or you have more fun with your friends than your guy.
Yeah. Or you have no friends anymore because you're dating this guy.
Nailed it.
What's the most embarrassing drunk text you've ever sent someone?
I feel like I've done that thing where I've drunk texted myself, where I've been like, hey, where are you? And then I've been like, on my way. Or like, hey, where are you? And then like you check your text, you're like eating Chinese food. And then you're like, I just answered myself. But I really try not to drunk text ever. Like when I'm drinking, I lose stuff very easily. So once I get drunk, I'm like, phone in there, zip it up, don't touch it.
Have you ever had that super crazy drunk night that you wake up in your clothes with your purse and your shoes? It happened to me before.
I feel like I'm psychotic and I love showering at night. So like no matter how black I am, like I take my clothes off and I shower.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a psycho because I love being like clean in bed for some reason. Like I hate being dirty in bed.
It's so funny when you add psycho with something that's actually really good for you. You're like, yeah, I'm such a psycho. Like I drink like water, like bottles of water. And like I work out every single day and I make sure to wake up at 6 a.m. to work out. And then like I meditate and I make sure to take care of my mental health. But, like I'm such a fucking psycho for that. And like
it's because my Scorpio friend Paige makes fun of me every night because we would like live together and I'd get home and she'd be like passed out with her purse and then I'd be like taking my makeup off, showering. She's like, you're fucking psycho. And I go, you're Scorpio and you're being mean.
That's so true. We are Scorpios.
I do think like you should date someone that's like, people are like, oh, date someone like your dad or whatever. But it's like, no, you should date someone who's like your best friend or like the parent that you get along with best.
That's really interesting. I mean, I'm not really dating right now, so I wouldn't know. I mean, I don't want to like also overthink. But, like, I feel like this is how like marriage or dating happens. I feel like I'm at the point where quarantine completely beat me down. And I'm at the point that nothing matters anymore. Like, I'm literally allergic to bees. And yesterday I was sitting in my balcony and I see a tree filled with bees on my balcony. And I just said, huh, all right. And I didn't move. I was like, I'm not moving. I don't care anymore. Nothing matters.
Finally, the murder hornets. Just end it now.
I just didn't care. And before that, earlier that morning, this all happened yesterday, before I saw the bees who were just sitting, chilling next to me. Before that, I saw a spider and I freaked out and I slipped on wet floor when I saw the spider and I fell on my chin and I started bleeding. That was like the morning of yesterday. But I was like, that's fine. And I just laughed about it, you know, laughed it off. But I feel like you have to hit a point where nothing matters. And that's when a guy hits you up and he's like, do you want to go to dinner? And maybe a guy that you didn't consider before at this point, you're just like, nothing matters. And I'm just like, okay. Yeah, we should do dinner.
And I feel like that's probably going to end up being my husband because I'm finally got knocked down so much.
Yes.
That I'm like, okay.
To try a type of way or force anything, you just have no energy left. And that's when the guy comes. Like, people are like, it's when you least expect it. No, it's when you've given up.
Literally. Exactly. It's like when you give up. He came in, he's like, do you have dinner? And I was like, yeah, we should have dinner. That was like,
the universe has finally like been like, okay, you've learned all your lessons. You don't have any hope anymore.
Given up on love. It just, nothing matters. And they come around, they're just like, sure, I could eat. And the next thing you know, that's your husband.
Yeah, that's how it happened with Dez. Not that I don't know the future holds, but it was like, I was not trying to date anyone. It was quarantine. I was literally scared to kiss him. But I was like, I'll go on this.
Then you had raw sex with him.
100%. I did. Sorry, mom.
So, Hannah.
Yes.
Is there anything you feel like I didn't ask you?
Oh my God. I mean, I feel like between the podcast, this podcast, and you coming on Burning in Hell, we have covered everything. And
literally have.
We've spent an hour and a half together. No, 2.5 hours together. Yeah. And I love you. And I just feel so connected to you right now as my Scorpio queen.
Oh, I feel so connected to you as well, my Leo queen. Where can people find you?
Follow me at Being Burns, BeingBerns. I feel like you've reposted one of my tweets before and it like made my life, maybe like once or twice. And I'm like, oh my God, to know that Violet enjoyed that makes me so happy.
No, I think it's so hilarious. I was totally jealous of how funny you were. Like, I know someone's like talented. I know someone's talented and has real talent is actually funny if I even have a smidge of jealousy towards them, because that tells me that they're unique. No, I'm serious, because it's very rare for me. So if I feel any type of jealousy towards someone, which of course right away I'll wipe out, because I'm like, what am I jealous of? And I have to have a conversation with myself. But the minute I feel that, then I'm like, oh, that person's special. They're very talented.
That makes me feel so good, because you are like such a like meme queen, and you like are such like one of the first like people who created like the sickest meme pages. And I like, from the very beginning, you were one that I followed, and I never even thought that I could write a tweet. So like, to have you say you like them means a lot to me. So yeah, people, follow me at Being Burned and listen to Violet's episode on Burning in Hell. She was so open, so honest, so vulnerable. BERN, where I talk to people about their demons. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so check out her tweets, check out her Instagram, DM her if you have any questions for her, and then check out her podcast and our episode together, which is on today.
Yes. Can't wait.
Okay, well, you guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy. I'll see you again next week. I love you guys, and take care of your mental health, and pray for me that someone will love me. I'm kidding. That I finally have a boyfriend. Pray for me. I'm kidding.
Oh, you don't need it. Bye.
No, I don't need it. Pray for me regardless.